continue in our series that we have been going on for the last 3 weeks. This is the fourth week in the series started that was called You're Too Old for That. Anybody here, the Holy Spirit just been speaking to you over the last few weeks saying it's time to go to a different level. Anybody here? Raise your hand. That's you. Say, Holy Spirit's been really challenging me about going to a different level. I hope so. That's what he does. So he challenges to go from level to level, from glory to glory in our life. Last week, we talked about the kingdom commitment, that one of the foundation things of growing up in God, about leaving things that are immature and walking to a maturity in a relationship with God, has to do with a kingdom commitment, not a casual commitment, not a commitment that's coerced when people talk you into it or you didn't think it through, kind of like you do when you join the gym and not thinking, all right, I'm going to get in shape for the summertime, you know, it's going to be summertime in 4 weeks, and I'm going to get in shape all of a sudden. You didn't think that through. It's going to take a little longer than 4 weeks to get in shape. I should have got there a little bit earlier, and it's going to take time. Maybe I need to steady pace myself. This is not a half-hearted decision, a kingdom commitment that says, come hell or high water, I'm staying planted. No matter what comes in my life, I am digging my roots deep with a kingdom commitment. That commitment is that I will do whatever it takes to further the kingdom of God here on earth, however he wants to do in my life. I say yes to that. Today, let's jump into our text in Jeremiah 18. This is the text we'll be using today. Probably won't get through it all today. We'll probably come back to it again next week. Let's go ahead and open up with it today. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. This is what he told him. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot. We see him shaping it one way. It didn't turn out the way it was supposed to be, so he reshapes it into a whole another pot here, shaping it as seemed best to him. Look at the last part of this verse. Then the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, can I not do this with you, Israel? Now, remember, when we see the word Israel here in the Old Testament, we can substitute us now for this. This is a foreshadowing of the church today, the modern church, the New Testament church. So let me reword it. He said, can I not do this for you, Destiny Church? Can I not do this for you, Destiny Church? As this potter does, declares the Lord, like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you, in my hand, Destiny. Today, the question is, mature Christians understand that the highest priority that God places in our life is not just God bless me. He does want to bless me, but that's not the most important thing. It's not just God use me. That's important. But more importantly is God make me, make us. Last week, remember us saying this statement right here. The statement we brought up last week that says the problem is we want God to use us but not make us. Remember how we as Christians oftentimes we cry, God, use me, use me, use me, use me, God, use me. Woo, I want to be used of you, God. Woo. You know, I had a guy one time who came to me. This is no lie, true story. He came to me several years ago in ministry. He says, Pastor, man, you really inspire me. He goes, I just want to do something for God. I want God to use me. I can see myself speaking to this many people. And he goes, what do I need to do? I said, the first thing you need to do is leave your girlfriend and go back to your wife and reconcile. But he didn't want to hear that. Because everybody wants to be used, but no one wants to be made. You see, before God really wants to, let me just tell you to you really straight, God can use anybody, okay? Let's get over ourselves. If God can use the donkey, he can use us. I've seen some of the biggest reprobates of my life get used of God. And so let's quit glorifying being used of God with spiritual maturity and call for what it is that God can use anybody who makes himself willing, number one. And we should, and I want you to do that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, more importantly, our attitude and our testimony and our prayer should be, God, make me. Make me to what you're forming me to be. Help me to become the clay on the potter's wheel. Was the Was the clay messed up, or was the potter make a mistake? No, the potter was the master. He knew what he was doing, but he looked at the clay and said, it's messed up here. It's not shaping into what I have designed it to be. So he had to restart over and reshape it again. And so today the question is, are we pliable? Are we moldable? Are we allowing ourselves to be fresh clay in the potter's hands that he can make us? But God didn't make me. Yes, he wants to make you that way. And if you allow yourself to be remade over, some of you need to do that. God, remake me over. Help me to lay aside some of the things I've preconceived in my idea and remake me into the person you're calling me to be. That's spiritual maturity. He's pulling you to a different level. Remember, we talked about it last week, the prodigal son. His immaturity said, Dad, give me my inheritance now. Give me mine. But after he hit rock bottom and he lost all of his money and he came to a rude awakening, his prayer changed, his tone changed, didn't he? He said, I'm going to go back and ask Dad to make me as one of his servants. Big difference there. When we learn to change our attitude from God, give me this. Give me your blessing. Give me this. God, use me here. And say, God, no. God, you make me. Shape me into the person you're calling me to be. And see if he doesn't change your life drastically in your life. It's a prayer we should all be making our life. So what makes a hard heart soft again? What softens us? What makes us moldable? What makes us moldable from one season of having a hard heart until the next season of being reshaped again? What makes it difference? It's in the same hands, right? The same potter. So what's going to make the difference? The difference is this: the amount of heart you give the potter. He said what? We're to love God with how much of our heart? All. Wait a minute. You didn't tell me that, Pastor Gene. I thought all I had to do was ask and confess my mouth and be saved. Yeah, but in case you didn't know it, I will reveal it to you today. He is after all of your life. He doesn't want 10% of your life. He doesn't want 20%. He's looking for the whole pie, okay? When you give me a pie, don't just give me a piece. Give me the whole pie. Someone give me an amen. It's getting close to lunch, all right. He wants the whole thing. And when I hold back part of my heart, I'm going to have a deformed heart. But to have my heart corrected and reshaped into what he's calling me to be, I got to learn what it means to submit my life, full heart, to the potter's hands. Then he will shape me till he wants me to be. Anybody like math equations? All right, let me give it to you this way. Maybe you can understand it. You math nerds here, you'll like this next statement. This is that new math everybody's crazy about, right? Okay. We won't go there. Just don't even go there. Knowledge plus uncooperative clay equals what? No growth. Now, I used to have all the knowledge in the world. Not to say that. That sounds really stupid for me to say that. I had a lot of knowledge, and I thought I was becoming wise. But the problem was I had a lot of biblical knowledge, but I could not live out any of it. I stunk at living it out. I couldn't apply it. Why? Because my heart hadn't yet learned to be submissive to the Spirit in my life. And so when you can have all the knowledge you want, but knowledge without submission is just pride. Look how much I know. Look how smart I am. But it's the equation is not only knowledge, but it's cooperation. Cooperating with the Spirit. Cooperating with the potter. Saying, I know Pastor Gene is teaching me. I'm learning over time. I'm getting lessons that are trying to grow me. I can have all that knowledge. I can take all the notes I want. I can have all those sermon notes for 4 years on my phone. And if I don't learn to submit to the Holy Spirit in my life, they will never get me anywhere. It's the knowledge plus the submission to the Holy Spirit that allows me to become pliable, to be remade on the potter's wheel. This is what he's wanting in our life, to grow, to change. Let's read it in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We've been reading this scripture for the last couple of weeks. Today we'll finally actually get to the end of the scripture here and talk about that. But we all with unveiled faces behold as a mirror, right? We're reflecting who? The glory of God. Do people see more of me now at this time in my life than they did last year? That's the question we ask. Can people look at you now and say, I see more of Jesus in them now than they did at last time of this year? I can't answer that. You got to answer that for yourself. Are you being transformed, changed into the same image from glory to glory, from level to level, growing season to season? But how do we do that? It's very clear right here. Just as by the Spirit, everybody say the Spirit. One more time, say by the Spirit of the Lord. So this is how we know. How do I get transformed? That's the question we're asking today. How do I get transformed? By the Spirit. Plain and simple, right here. This is the missing link. This is the missing equation. You can have all the knowledge you want, but if you don't have the Spirit operating in your life, it's just knowledge. How does that knowledge come alive in my life and begin to transform me? By me submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. It says, by the Spirit, I will go from glory to glory. So how do I mature and go to a new level? By reaching out and grabbing a hold of what the Spirit is trying to do and say and lead and letting Him pull me up to a different level. Letting Him lead me where He's trying to take me. All this knowledge is going to take me there. No, it's the Spirit that's going to take you there. Allowing the Spirit to take you there. Think about the disciples. The 12 disciples. I mean, you talk about an internship program. They spent 3 years on learning from the Master. I mean, it wasn't an internship program at a church. We're talking about walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus, eyewitnesses to the dead being raised, and eyewitnesses and to the eyes being opened and ears being opened, eyewitnesses of Jesus walking on the water, eyewitnesses to Jesus feeding the 5,000. He was there when He confronted the religious spirits of the Pharisees. They were there. When He talked about the Beatitudes on the side of the hill, changing, challenging. I mean, you're talking about people who were equipped to go out and to make a difference. I mean, think about that. If we could go to Jesus' 3-year internship school, how powerful would we be? How much growth would happen in your life? But you know what Jesus told those interns? After 3 years, He says, I know you're ready to go, but what did He say? He said, you go, but you go and wait. Not yet. He goes, you're missing something. You got all the knowledge. You've seen the prophecies unfold before your eyes. You have a deeper understanding of what I came to do. He goes, you're going to walk in power, but listen, you're not ready yet. You're still missing one thing. And if we're not careful, it's the very thing that we can miss in our life. We can have all this religious experience. We can have all this Bible knowledge. We can check in going to church every week and say, I was at church. Check in on Facebook so everybody knows you were there. You can tweet out, I was at church today, all you want to, but there's something still missing in our life. He said, go and wait. Look what 2 Timothy says. 2 Timothy 3:5. A prophecy about the end times. It says, but now know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters. Sound familiar? He says, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Are we living in those days today? I think it's pretty clear. Look what he warns at the end of this. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. He says, stay away from such. He prophesied in these last days that people would say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, God is good. God is all-knowing. But they deny the power. Because the power is me. The power is not God, right? Society says the power is within me. I can do anything I want to do. If I just think it through, I will make it through. And so you can go and check in at your local house of worship. Check in on Facebook. You can tweet about it. You can post a picture of Instagram, a selfie in front of the pulpit, all you want to do. But if you ain't got power, you ain't got jack. I'm telling you right now, we have got to see an increase of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life if we're going to make a difference. The only way I'm going to drop the bad habits of the immature and take a step to the mature is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way I'm going to break addiction is not through being strong, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way I'm going to run from the lust and temptation that is so easily besetting me and coming after me is through the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. It's not going to happen otherwise. We have got to make sure that even though we have the right knowledge, that we are losing the power of the Holy Spirit that He is wanting for us to have. 3 years of information, but He said, wait. Jesus said, wait. After 3 years of receiving this information, internship, He says, wait, wait. Some of you are there, you're waiting. Some of you keep wondering, what's the big missing link, Pastor? What's the next big teaching? And you're thinking about that. What's the next big book? And you're reading the next big Christian author book, and you're buying the next DVD series, and you're waiting. And you're waiting for the next big word to come your way. And what's the next best-selling Christian book? And there's nothing wrong with those things, okay? I'm all for Christian authors and people God using those DVDs. We use them here for teaching in our church and discipleship. Nothing wrong. But for some of us here, we think the missing link is going to be the next prophet coming saying, here's the new word. Let me write it down. You want me to give you the best right now? I'm going to give you the best book you can go read right now. Write this down. This is the book that will change and radical bring a change to your life. It's called the Book of Acts. Let me say again. It's called the Book of Acts. If you've never read it, you need to go there and read it. Because it says that Jesus told his disciples, go and wait for endued power. And we see through all the Book of Acts where the Holy Spirit came in power to change people's lives. Because you got the knowledge, now you need to team it up with the power. It's the power that we're missing. We've got the knowledge. We've been discipled, but we're not making the difference. Why is that? Because we have not given control to the Holy Spirit. It's the only way we're going to make a difference is to give control of the Holy Spirit in our life. Look what John says in chapter 20. Jesus has just been raised from the dead. When did Jesus raise from the dead? According to the Jewish calendar, on the first day of the week, which is Sunday morning, that same night, look what happens. On that evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, of course, they knew they were in fear. They're thinking they crucified Jesus, we're next. So they're living in fear, and Jesus comes, and He speaks twice over them. He says, peace be with you. And again, He says, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me. And look what He says to you, I am sending you. At the very last, look at this, and with that, He what? What did He do? He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is important today. Think about it. When did God breathe? We can find it in the book of Genesis. When He said, I'm creating man. And He took the dust of the earth and He breathed life into Adam. When He makes us Christians and we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, what does He do? He says, old things pass away. All things become what? He breathes new life into us. But it doesn't stop there. There is a Holy Spirit anointing that He was wanting to breathe in our lives. Were these guys already Christians? Yes, they were. Had He already created them brand new? Yes, He had. Had He already started the transformation process? He 3 years of interning. All this knowledge. And He says, you're missing one thing. It's the breath of the Holy Spirit. To receive you the Holy Spirit. We got to realize it is the Holy Spirit that breathes life and creates us into His image. Then pick it back up in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, here we see the story continue. and being assembled together with them, Jesus talking, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. Remember, he said, go and wait. Wait. 3 years of information, but wait. For what? The promise. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a promise. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a promise. There's a promise that has been given to us, and he calls that promise what? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He said, you will have heard from me, for truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit, not many days from now. And after you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power. I can't seem to do this because you ain't got no power. There is power to every Christian who wants it, and it comes through a submitted life of the Holy Spirit. I can't seem to get over the hump. Well, submit your life to the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I was taught the Holy Spirit was not relevant for today. Well, you were taught wrong. Because either this whole Bible is true or none of it's true. That's all I got to say about that. Okay. Some people, because they don't understand it, have stayed away from it. Other people thought, well, that was just a one-time experience in the upper room. That was not for the whole church. That's why you need to really read the whole book of Acts. Because it didn't just happen one time. It happened in chapter 1. They're being transformed. Let me give this to you now. Being transformed into the image must have power of the Holy Spirit. Now look at this right here. I'm going to mess some of your theology up right now. You're going to be talking about this tonight, and it's going to really rattle some of your cages. Look at this. Being filled with the Spirit is not about how much of the Spirit we have, but how much does the Spirit have of us? That is good. I just tell you right there. When the Holy Spirit gave that to me this week, I about had a shout right there in my office. I was like, hallelujah. I said, God, you have all of me right there. I got up and kicked my chair over, I think. I don't know. I was like, that's good. Give your neighbor a high five and say, the Holy Spirit's good, man. I tell you. Come on, give him a high five. Say, the Holy Spirit's good. All right, half of you did that. We can't move forward. Everybody does. Give your neighbor a high five and say, the Holy Spirit's good. There you go. What I'm trying to tell you is this, is that so many times we think that being filled with the Spirit is getting more of Him. No, it's about us submitting to the potter. Yes, He wants to breathe in us. Yes, but He can't do that until we make ourselves open to Him. We can't do that until He can lead us. It's more than a one-time feel-good experience. It's a daily submission to the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, I felt it one time, and whoo, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. Great. You're going to feel it. When the Holy Spirit touches you, you will feel it. I guarantee you. There's no doubt about it. But what are you going to do with it on Monday? That's the question I have for you. Can you walk it out on Monday? Can you submit to the Holy Spirit when you go to your job, when you go to your school? Can you say, God, I'm submitting to you. Can I walk up and pray for that person in the middle of the store when he asked me to do that? Can I walk up and buy this person's lunch as a stranger? Can I walk up and say, I don't know you from Adam, but I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to know this, that God loves you today where you're at. Woo, talking about radical change. You can't do that on your own. If you do, you'll fail. But you can do that when you're empowered. It's more than just the knowledge. It's the power that comes with the Holy Spirit's submitted life. Does He have all of you today? See, I can be in the same room as you and don't take advantage. See, some people today, you're here in this room and I'm teaching and you're taking notes. You're attentive. Other people, you already got your mind on lunch. This is to keep it real. You're thinking, Pastor Gene, we should hurry up. I'm getting hungry. And boy, today after I got the Final Four was on yesterday. I got to talk to my buddies about that. And, you know, your mind's not here. You're not taking advantage of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your life today. Just be real, right? But other people, you're taking advantage of that. You're absorbing. You're learning. You're writing down. You're wanting to apply it to your life. It's like this. Come here, Mike. I love Mike. How many like Big Mike here? Come on. Give it up, Big Mike. I love this guy. Been a part of my life a long, long time. And recently, Mike has just joined the gym where I'm working out at last couple of weeks. He said, I'm getting back. You want to get back? He said, Pastor, I got a long ways to go, but I'm taking it one day at a time. I said, you go, man. I've been encouraging him since he's been there. But we didn't plan it this way. but it seems like recently we've been running into each other a lot there at late at night. We've been going there. And I just tell you, at the gym, a lot of people there know I'm a pastor. And a lot of them come up and sure want to talk to me all the time, you know. Some there are trying to work out, you know, and people come up, hey, aren't you the pastor down there at that church? I'm like, no, that's somebody else, you know. I got my earphones in. Hi, guys. I tell you why, because I have people who come up and they want to tell me all their problems. And I am sensitive to that. And I listen. And then I give them advice and I counsel them. And they don't want to hear any advice I had to say to them. It's all about their problem. And the next week when I run into them again, it's the same thing. Oh, my divorce about killed me, my kid. And I don't know why my life is spiraling down. It's the same story I've heard for the last five times, and I keep trying to tell them that Jesus is a difference maker. Join me at church on Sunday. See if God can't change your life. Begin to put some priorities in your life. And they don't want to hear any of that. And so I'm like, huh. And I have other people come up, hey, man, I want to get back in shape. And I'm like, all right, first thing you got to do, you're doing this way wrong. You got to learn to do lightweights, high reps, and you need to alternate when you're lifting. Don't lift every day back to back because you're not going to get the benefits out of that. If you're not sweating, you're not losing weight. Oh, no, don't tell me how to do it because I know what I'm doing. I'm like, really? We can obviously tell you don't know what you're doing, okay? It's obvious to all of us here in the gym. You don't know what you're doing. But what I love about Big Mike here is this. He comes up. And he'll get it next to me in the machine next to me. He'll yank my earphones out of my ear. Pastor Gene, oh, man, tell me about Sunday. Tell me about the Word. I love this. And tell me about being, listen to what God's speaking to me. What's God speaking to you? How can I change? How can I get better, man? Oh, man, I love what God's doing. Speak to me. And I'm speaking, and he's taking notes on the elliptical right there next to me. He's like, I want to lose weight. Tell me how to do it. I want to get in shape. And he listens to what I say. And he's like taking it. Why? He's a smart guy. He's realizing, I need to take advantage of this one-on-one that doesn't always happen. It's just, I mean, he's taking advantage. See, for all of us here, thanks, Mike. For all of us here, if you're a Christian today, the Holy Spirit, listen to me, the Holy Spirit is in you already. Are you going to take advantage of it? He's there. He's there. He's waiting for somebody to say, Holy Spirit, tell me what to do next. Holy Spirit, lead me, challenge me, instruct me, give me some wisdom, and he will show himself to you. But many of us here, the Holy Spirit's there, and we never acknowledge it. We never obey. We never ask for counsel. We never let it lead us. We never submit to its leading in our life. And so it doesn't do any good. So you have the Holy Spirit, but are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to be breathed to life in your life? Are you going to allow Jesus to every day you get, Holy Spirit, good morning, breathe in my life today, become real in my life today? We see this in Acts chapter 4, verses 31 and 33. You see, after they prayed, now we see this is a different instant after the upper room. This is Peter and John, man. They're going somewhere else. In a different instance, they talk about what happened in the upper room, about people getting saved, getting filled with the Holy Spirit. This is after they prayed. The place they were in, the meeting was shaking, and they were filled with what? The Holy Spirit. You mean, no, wait a minute. That's only for the upper room, Pastor Joe. They cannot be doing, this is only for the upper room, right? No. This is another experience. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the Word of God. What? Boldly. With great power. Same people. What's the difference? What's the difference in maturity? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Great power. The apostles continue to testify. How can I be a testimony of God's love and God's light? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. They testify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And look what happened. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. All. Let me tell you this. You want to know if you're being filled with the Spirit? When you see grace coming out of you that never came out of you before, when you forgive people who have hurt you, when you forgive people who have spoken against you, when you forgive those who slander you, when you forgive those who have cheated you, when you forgive those who have done you wrong, the the Holy Spirit comes in me and allows me to extend forgiveness and grace that I could never do otherwise. Then I know I'm submitting my life to the Holy Spirit. Well, I thought it was about a feeling. It's more than a feeling. I'm not going to go there. I started to. All right, it's not going to go there. I can't help it. Those 80 songs just always pop out. See, listen, today our culture is changing, right? Our culture is changing. Prayer is being taken out of the schools. 10 Commandments are off the city walls. That's just the beginning. Now we see culture changing worse and worse. More ungodliness. Christianity is being watered down day by day. Society is watering down for us. Now the music industry thinks they know more about God than we do. They think they have, why? Because they have the ear to the next generation. And if we're not careful, what's happening here is they are getting the ear and the heart of the next generation, and the church is becoming irrelevant. We have got to wake up and say, there's something more. There is something more. There is something more. And it's more than a donut and coffee. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you, I love lights and videos. And when we get to new church, it's going to be even a lot bigger than what it is here. We're going to have the best sound. We're going to have the best video and lighting we can do. Why? Because I believe in investing in reaching the next generation. We're going to do everything we can to reach that next generation. But listen to me. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. Those things are irrelevant unless we have the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying today that God would wake us up and say, God, help us to put in the missing equation. Help us to put back the power of the Holy Spirit in my life again. What's going to pull the next generation from being watered down? It's not going to be because you got the best show in town. It's not going to be because you're serving the best coffee in town or you're the most friendly church in town. What's going to bring them in is when they know they walk in, there's a difference maker here. That the power of the Holy Spirit is here. That people are being healed, set free. Marriage is restored. Lives being restored. The light is coming on to those who have been blinded. They're going to see their life radically changed. We have got to make sure that the power is a part of our equation, the power of the Holy Spirit. The last thing today I want to read you is Acts chapter 8. Now we see this is another story. This is the end of the story of the Holy Spirit being poured out to another people, another place. Peter and John are there preaching again about what happened. People are saved. And what happens after they're saved? They saw that though the laying on of the apostles' hands, what was given? What was given? The Holy Spirit. Here we go again. Another instance, another time. It's not the upper room, but it's being given out again. The Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money. This is Simon the sorcerer, by the way. His name is Simon the sorcerer. He sees the Holy Spirit being given out to these guys. He's like, man, I want that. He goes, give me this power. And he offered him money for this power. And it's kind of comical when we look at it, right? He's like, I'll buy that. Somewhere, Peter Popoff saying, I got an anointing oil right here. You can buy it from me. I mean, no, we don't buy the anointing. We don't buy the power. All right, just another word there. Okay. Save your money. All right. We don't buy the power. But what happens is this. This man was so moved. He said, you know what? I studied this. I'm a sorcerer. I study the moon and the stars. And I study. I know the Gemini. And I know the Cancer. And I know the Leos. And I know these people. And I know their traits. And you know what? There's something different that you have that I don't have. How many times? Let me ask you this. Is there a time in your life? Look at this question. The last question I'm going to ask you today. Is there a time in your life that you can point to a moment when the Spirit so captured you and changed you that others wanted what you had? Can you think of that moment when the Spirit so captured your heart and changed you that other people wanted what you had? This is what I'm talking about. There should be a power of change in our life that comes through the Holy Spirit. Today, I can think of those times as musicians are coming. I can think of those times in my life when the Holy Spirit so moved me that I realized, you know what? I got all this knowledge. I'm not doing anything different. I'm walking powerless. And I remember giving my life control, not only to Jesus as my Savior, I'd already done that, but I remember saying, God, whatever you want to do with my life, I give it to you. Whatever you want to form me, I give it to you. God, I got some dreams, but those are nothing compared to what you want for my life. I got some things I want to do and pursue in my life, but those are nothing if you're not changing me. And I remember the Holy Spirit coming and flooding my life and me changing. I'll never forget it. It changed me. I remember bawling. I couldn't stop. And I would come to church and I'd bawl to church. People were like, what's wrong with you? You're leaking everywhere. Just tears. I couldn't help it. I cried and the Spirit was changing me. The person who was real reserved, worried about people watching me lift my hands in worship. Well, I thought that was, I'm going to do that. That's weird. But I said, no, I want more God. Couldn't keep my hands down. Fall to my knees. I cried out to God. He was changing me. I remember it breaking out on a college campus on a Friday evening, one evening, when some of us got together and began to seek God, and the Holy Spirit came so strong that people started coming from all over the campus to our dorm, and they wondered what was going on in there, and they walk in, the Holy Spirit would hit them at the door. They drop to their knees, start crying out to God. People coming in from the movies late or from dates would come in. They get drawn, the whole crowd of the dorm room, and it would spill over to the whole crowd of the hallway. And it went all night long that way, and the next day, and all night the Saturday night, and all day Sunday morning. And Monday morning when people came back to the campus, they were like, what is going on in this campus? We left here on Friday afternoon, we come back Monday, and something is different. The atmosphere is different. They're changing. Things are happening. What was it? It was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit. That's all it was. The Holy Spirit was coming and changing us. Today, the question is this. Have you fully given your life to the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking about just giving it to Jesus and salvation, but I'm talking about giving control of your life to the Holy Spirit. This is how you'll mature. This is how you'll go from level to level. It's only by the Spirit. It's only by the Spirit. This is the only way you'll walk in with the power you need to make the changes that God wants to do. You'll never break hold of the strongholds in your life until you give your life fully to the Holy Spirit. You'll never get rid of that relationship you're trying to break off unless you give power to the Holy Spirit. You'll never grow beyond that habit until you get power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You'll never become that witness God wants you to be until you learn to give your life in full surrender to the potter. How many today said, Pastor, I want to give my life fully to the potter's wheel. I want the Holy Spirit to make me, shape me, remake me. I've had a lot of marred clay. I've been hard in my heart at times, and I'm today saying, I want to give fully to the Holy Spirit today in my life. If that's you, I want to stand on your feet this morning. I want you to join me around the front. My prayer is that every time we come together, when people walk in this room, they see a people who are hungry, passionate for the things of God, for the power of God to be operated in their life. I'm not talking about a bunch of nutty, flaky things. Give me here what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a genuine passion for the presence of God that says, I want God to move me, shake me, form me into the person He's calling me to be. I want God's presence in my life to be so real. I want His Spirit filling me, and I want to learn to submit to the Holy Spirit in my life fully, give Him everything in my life. I want to pray, God, make me, shape me. If that's you today, I want you to raise your hands and say, I'm ready. I'm ready for the Holy Spirit to refill my life. I'm ready for the Holy Spirit to change my life. I'm ready for the Holy Spirit to change who I am. I want something that's real. I don't want to play any games. I want to come and be changed. Set a fire in our heart, Holy Spirit. Set a fire.
Come on, let me sing it out.
Set a fire down in my soul that it didn't.
Come on, sing it out this morning. If you really want more of God, come on, let's cry it out to Him in this place. Sing, set a fire.
Set a fire now. Oh, Lord. I want more. I want more, Lord.
Come on, let's make it personal to Him today.
Set a fire, God, in my soul. Oh, Lord. more, Lord.
Listen to me. I'm going to pray this prayer over you today. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. Chris, make sure you turn me up here. I want to make sure everybody hears me. Thank you. All right. Can everybody hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. I'm going to pray this prayer over you today. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will just mess you up this week.
Yes, God.
I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will just come into your world, and He's going to challenge you with a demonstration of His power this week.
Yes, God.
He's going to challenge you to step out of faith. Listen to me. I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit will present to you an opportunity for you to step out of faith and see His power at work in your life. So get ready. It's going to happen this week. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now as we lift our hands to you, I pray that this week, God, that your power of your Holy Spirit will invade every part of our life. And I pray this week that you'll give us opportunity to step out and to see your power revealed in our life. That God, you're going to show people in this room who are praying, who are asking, that you're going to show up in a fresh and new way. You're going to step out in faith. They're going to pray for somebody they never prayed for. They're going to step out and give in a way you've asked them to give. You're going to ask them to do something outside of their comfort level. And you're going to show up and empower them. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, through the authority of your power of your Spirit, Lord, I say release a fresh breath of your Holy Spirit upon us, God. When people walk in this room, may they sense the power of the Holy Spirit in this room. May they see the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, that we can make a difference in this generation. And God, I pray right now, this week, that you would show yourself. This week, Holy Spirit, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our spiritual ears, that we can hear you, see you, feel you, follow you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release now, in Jesus' name. Come on, one more time, let's sing it one more time. Hallelujah. Come on, let it go.
I want more.
Come on, let's sing it to him. Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you.
Come on, some of y'all are already getting more, God, in this place. Come on, let's lift it up to him. Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain.
Come on. We want more of you, Jesus. Come on, let's cry out to the Lord. Come on, one more time, real sweet. Let's lift it up, just voices only. Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul. Yes, God. That I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
We want more. Come on, one more time, lift it up too. Set a fire.
Set a fire down in my soul.
Burn it down in us, God.
That I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Be ready, okay? Be ready. We prayed that prayer. I'm going to believe this week that the Holy Spirit is going to come to you this week, and you're going to have an opportunity to see the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready to lead and be led by the Holy Spirit as you're learning to give your life to Him fully today. Now listen, before you leave today, I want to remind you of a couple of things. Of course, don't forget, tonight, it's life groups. GAP is going on as well. We're going to have invitations for you to pass out for Easter at the doors. Ushers passing those out. Take those. Invite. Don't lay them on a table and walk away. Hand them to them personally and personally invite people to be your guests, okay? God bless you. Thank you, guys. Stay hungry. Stay passionate. Amen.